Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina, this edition of the podcast, and we're so excited. We're going to be talking with a good friend of mine, Representative John Hardister from Guilford County. I got to know him when I was working at a newspaper, and they were published out of the Greensboro area, so I talked a lot with folks in Guilford County and the various representatives and senators from that region, and Representative Hardister is someone that came to kind of build a good relationship with. I could always call him and say, hey, you know, Representative Hardister, what about this or what about that bill? And he's always, answered me very candidly. I don't think he's ever, tried to run something by me that was political speak or rhetoric. He's always been very honest and straight up. And frankly, I'm glad that he comes on our show because he's a good guest. He's articulate. And he's working hard for the folks in his district and across the state. And you'll hear me say this in our conversation, but he is very thoughtful in the legislation that he puts together. And I think that's pretty cool myself. You know what? We are so excited about this podcast, What Matters in North Carolina. We are doing our very best to bring guests and information and topics and content that you will not find anywhere else. And let me just quickly run through this. We've had on this podcast just this past few days, Speaker of the House Tim Moore, House of Representatives Representative Holly Grange. We've had Representative Sarah Stevens. We have had Senator Phil Berger, the President Pro Tem of the North Carolina Senate. A week or so ago, we had Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. We're about to talk with Representative John Hardister. And if it sounds like I'm bragging, well, I'm just excited, folks, because the members of the General Assembly, let me explain something to you. They don't have to give interviews. And they certainly don't have to spend their time, giving an interview for a podcast. They can be very selective about who they talk to. But we have developed and are continuing to develop the kind of relationship with the General Assembly and with the members over there and with the leadership over there, wherein they will come on the show. And not only will they give an interview, but more often than not, they will be very candid, very frank. And look, I'm not throwing softballs for these guys to just knock out of the park. In fact, if you listened to our conversation with Senator Phil Berger, I asked him straight up, Senator Berger, a lot of conservatives, people like myself, have been very vocal in supporting House Bill 2. And when we read that there's talk that it might be repealed, well, it kind of makes us raise an eyebrow. You know, what's going on here? And you know what? He gave an answer that was not, well, blah, 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 blah. But he took the time and I think answered me straight up. And so, again, we're very excited about the progress we're making and bringing you the very best guests possible here in North Carolina on any kind of medium that has to do with politics, policy, state government. And thank you for listening. We really, really appreciate it. Well, without any further ado, let's talk to Representative John Hardister. Represents the fine folks in the Greensboro area in Guilford County. And he's got a new leadership position in the North Carolina House. It's always great pleasure to have a representative from the North Carolina General Assembly who I have gotten to know over the past couple of years in probably more than I have any other member of the General Assembly. I think he does a tremendous job. He's always a good guest, is not afraid to speak his mind. And so that being said, Representative John Hardister, welcome back to What Matters in North Carolina.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be with you today.
Well, I think congratulations are in order as you are the new House Majority Whip.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. should be an interesting session. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, I don't mean this in any kind of negative way, but, you know, you're a pretty nice guy. Is this going to be a challenge, you know, from the way you normally interact with people to you know, have to kind of get firm sometimes?
Well, first of all, thanks for saying I'm a nice guy, but no, that's not a problem. Actually, I think that would be an asset for the position, because as majority whip, you have to get along with everybody.
Yeah, well, I believe very strongly you're going to do a good job. I think it speaks highly of you that your colleagues selected you to serve as the whip. So, again, congratulations on that. So,
yeah, I'm honored to have the position, and I'm looking forward to working with my caucus, and I'll do the best I can.
Now, one thing I will add, the Senate majority whip for a long time has been Senator Tillman, and he's prone to breaking out in song unannounced, and I kind of hope you don't start doing that, Representative Arthur.
That's not my plan, but you never know. I'll try to keep it interesting for you.
Exactly. Well, here's something that I think our listeners should know about Representative John Hardister, and that is that the legislation that you file typically each session is not, you know, what a lot of people might expect from their legislator in terms of controversial stuff or things like that. But it seems to me that the bills that you file are very thoughtful from the standpoint that they really try to help people. And I point to last session, and we talked about this the last time you were here, but you had a great bill signed into law wherein parents can freeze their children's credit to keep the children's identities from being stolen. You did some good work for folks in the mortgage loan industry. And now, right here at the very beginning of our session, you've done it again. You have filed a bill that's very practical with an intent to genuinely help people, and it has to do with first responders. And so I've teed it up. I'll let you hit the ball and tell us all about this bill.
Okay, Mark, thanks so much for the kind words. I appreciate it. Yeah, so this bill basically would waive property taxes for the spouse of a first responder who dies in the line of duty. So that would be emergency medical personnel, a firefighter, a law enforcement officer. The benefit is also extended for disabled veterans who are 100% disabled. Hmm. And if they die, then the property taxes for their spouse would be waived. And that's basically what it does. It's fairly simple, but the idea is we want to protect and support the people who protect us every day.
Now, was there something, Representative Hardister, that triggered this? Did you have an experience with somebody who was a first responder and their family was going through some challenges, or what prompted this?
Yeah, so I'm working on the bill with Representative Nelson Dollar, Jason Sain, and Rena Turner. And the idea actually came to our attention in Virginia. The state of Virginia passed legislation to a similar effect in 2015, and we found out about it and thought that we should do the same thing in North Carolina.
Well, I think that this probably, if I had to guess, I don't think you'll run into a lot of opposition and should fly right through the House and the Senate. Do you feel good about the prospects for the bill becoming passed into law?
Yeah, I don't see any major roadblocks at this point in time. I don't think it'll be that controversial. If there is any pushback at all, it might be at the local level, because you know property taxes are remitted to local government.
Right.
So there could be a little bit of pushback there. Like, for example, in Cumberland County, there's a fair amount of disabled veterans who live in that area. I don't think it'll have a significant impact on their budget, but that is something that we'll probably have to consider. But I contend it's the right thing to do. If you've served the country and you're disabled and you're on a fixed income and you pass away and your spouse is left to take care of the property, I think the least we can do is waive the property tax, because it's one less thing the spouse would have to worry about. And the same thing for first responders. in the broad scheme of things, I don't think this will have a major impact on property taxes. But if there is any pushback, that's probably where it will come from.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like you've analyzed this thing pretty thoroughly, and I'll be interested to watch this bill as it passes through the House and the Senate, and I predict will end up on Governor Cooper's desk and that he will sign it. So, speaking of Governor Cooper, Representative Hardister, with your expanded role in the House leadership, from where you sit, and you know, his relationship with the leadership of the General Assembly so far has often been described as acrimonious, contentious. And here we are. The session has officially gotten underway. Work is being done. If you had a crystal ball, would you look into it and predict that perhaps he will be more willing to work with you guys than he has been so far? Or would you predict that it's just going to be tough going the whole way through and he's just not going to be nice?
Yeah, well, I don't have a crystal ball, never have had one, but if you're putting me on the spot, I would say that the governor's probably going to work with us a little bit more cooperatively than what you've seen so far.
Uh-huh.
What we've seen so far, to be candid with you, is disappointing. I think Governor Cooper has played politics with House Bill 2. I think that obviously what he attempted to do with Medicaid expansion was beyond his executive authority. And so from that standpoint, I think the governor has played politics, which is disappointing. But having said that, he is the governor, and I do respect him as the governor, despite our differences. And I'm hopeful and cautiously optimistic that as the session progresses, we will work to find common ground.
Yeah, I think as you move forward, I would certainly hope that that he would be more open to a harmonious relationship. Otherwise, it's going to be a long session anyway for somebody. Probably those of us in the with the job of talking about it would probably not mind if he was not very nice the whole time. But I think we would.
I think you have plenty to talk about.
Well, so in terms of where you sit, representing the fine folks in Guilford County, as you look over the next few months, what are some of the priorities that you feel like at the end of the day you hope the General Assembly will get done this session?
I think the priority is to keep doing what we've been doing. Unemployment in North Carolina is half of what it was a few short years ago.
Wow.
Over 350,000 net new jobs have been created since this time in 2013. Not many people know we have the 23rd largest economy in the world. State GDP is very strong. State debt's low. We've balanced the budget responsibly, over $1 billion in reserves. The budget revenue is coming in above projection this year and has in recent years. We have a great success story in North Carolina. I'm very proud of the work that we've done. I'd say the priority is to keep doing what we're doing, strengthen the economy, create jobs, create opportunity, and support public education and fund the core services of state government.
Well, it really is remarkable, Representative Hardister, when you look at the things that you just mentioned. Seems like every month or every couple of weeks, some national publication is, North Carolina, great place to live. North Carolina, great place to do business, business-friendly environment. And on and on. And most people, I think, would not immediately say, well, we have a $3 billion budget deficit like you guys were facing in 2011 when the Republicans gained the majority. Most people would not think, well, the best way to tackle this is by cutting taxes. We need to raise taxes, get more money in the coffers. But the reforms, the tax reforms and regulatory reforms that have been put in place by the conservative Republican majority, it's really remarkable. I mean, there seems to be budget surpluses announced almost yearly. And again, the people looking at North Carolina from the outside are saying, wow, You know, this is a good state economically, and we need to do business there.
Yeah, we have an amazing success story, and you're exactly right. And it's no accident that the state has been turned around economically. It's a result of tax reform, reg reform, balancing the budget responsibly, strengthening public education, maintaining a sound infrastructure. It's no accident that we have seen a drastic improvement in our economy, and we'll continue working to move the state in the right direction.
Speaking of going back for just a moment, Representative Hardister, to Governor Cooper, I think today the judge, a judge, is going to listen to some arguments about this whole Medicaid thing. Frankly, I was shocked when he, right out of the gate, just, you know, and in my mind, kind of out of the blue, just said, oh, by the way, I'm the governor now, and I'm going to expand Medicaid. And it kind of like he didn't care what the law said, you know, which says that only the General Assembly can do that. Only the General Assembly can obligate the state financially. And it made me a little nervous that, you know, our governor just, you know, don't matter. That's a law, but who cares, you know? I don't think that's a proper attitude for a governor to have.
Right. Well, exactly. Clearly, the governor, no governor, has the authority to expand Medicaid unilaterally. Think about how scary that would be if any governor, Republican or Democrat, could do that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and the state constitution says that only the legislature can appropriate funding and raise revenue. And what the governor's proposing is to expand Medicaid, which is going to cost the state billions of dollars in the long run. And also, it would require an appropriation. It would require revenue to be raised, which the governor suggested could be derived from hospitals. Well, that's an increase in taxes. The governor doesn't have that authority, plain and simple. Plus, it's in state law and statute that Medicaid cannot be expanded unless it's approved by the legislature. But the governor apparently thinks that laws exist for convenience and their recommendations rather than laws, which is obviously inaccurate. We're a nation of laws. We're a state of laws. And if you don't like what they are, you can seek to change them. In this case, the governor would be well served to try to work with the legislature to improve the efficiency of our Medicaid system and to promote cost effectiveness in our Medicaid system rather than what engaging in what I believe is a PR stunt.
Yeah.
To be candid with you, I think it's a PR stunt. I would like to think that the governor is smart enough to know that he doesn't have this authority. And I feel very confident about our chances to succeed in the court system because it's very obvious the governor doesn't have the authority to do what he's trying to do. And furthermore, the Trump administration, I don't believe, would support taking that action. So I think we're in a good position, and we're going to continue working to improve and strengthen our Medicaid system. But expanding Medicaid at this point in time is not the right thing to do. It's too expensive. We need to focus on expanding access to quality, affordable health care, which is something I believe Congress is going to work on. But, you know, Governor Cooper, hopefully he will take a look at the opportunity he has to work with us instead of trying to fight us politically.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And, you know, you touched on a topic. You said courts. It made me think of a quick question. As a member of the General Assembly, and you guys don't just, you know, zip around and make stuff up and try to get laws passed that haven't been thought out and vetted. And so you go to all of this effort and pass legislation. I'm thinking particularly of voter ID that the vast majority of the state supports. And then some, you know, court with an axe to grind, at least in my opinion, comes along and says, well, this is unconstitutional. Does that frustrate you, Representative Hardister? It's like, gee whiz, you know?
Yeah, I find it extremely frustrating, to be honest with you, because the court system in some cases has been politicized and judges are engaging in activism instead of interpreting the law and whether or not it's constitutional. And a good example is voter ID. One of the worst cases I've ever seen was from the federal courts when they struck down North Carolina's common sense voter ID law.
Yeah.
It makes no sense at all. There was not a single case where anyone was disenfranchised their right to vote. If you don't have an ID, but you need one to vote, you go to the DMV, you get one for free. If you go to vote and you don't have your ID on you, you can still vote. You cast a provisional ballot, which would be verified later and counted. So it's ridiculous. I think it was a political ruling, and that's why we need conservative judges. Conservative, not in the sense that they're political, but that they do their job and they strictly interpret the Constitution and determine whether or not the law is in concert with the Constitution. It's really that simple.
Well, yeah, you would think. Yeah. And it's just, it makes me throw my hands up there and go, what in the world? So not to let any cats out of any bags, but do you think that there's opportunity, Representative Hardister, to go back to the drawing board on an issue like voter ID and try it again and see if it could pass through the court system? Or is that something that's still in process of being thought about?
Yeah, well, I support voter ID. I would like to craft another bill. And, we'll take a hard look at that. We've talked about it, and I think it's very possible that we will we'll move in that direction.
Well, I certainly hope so. we've talked about this, but it's just really ridiculous that anyone would object to showing an ID to vote. I mean, the most precious thing that we have, or one of the most precious rights that we have as American citizens to vote, there should never be any question about the integrity of an election. And as you said, people support it. So I hope that the North Carolina General Assembly can get something done in that regard. So you mentioned continuing to do what you've been doing as far as reforms and regulatory reform and that sort of thing. I think that one question that has come up, and I wanted to see what your thoughts were on this, you have been very aggressive as a legislative body in reforming the tax system and helping people. Particularly people like myself, it's not, I laugh when I hear, oh, tax cuts for the wealthy. Well, I've benefited from it, and I wouldn't consider myself to be, quote, wealthy. So I know that that's just rhetoric. But is there a point, Representative Hardister, where you have to let the system kind of catch up, or can the General Assembly continue to be aggressive in reforming taxes and that sort of thing?
Great question, and the answer is, based on the conversations that we're having now, we're not going to be very aggressive this year. I think we'll make some tweaks. We might look at tax reduction, but nothing aggressive, because you want to allow time for the current tax reform to continue to be successful and to take hold and let the market adjust to it. You don't want to move too quickly.
Right.
But I do think we're going to look for opportunities to further simplify the tax code. I mean, it's amazing. We went from having the 44th worst, according to the Tax Foundation, the 44th worst state for taxes. Now we're the 11th best. I mean, that's amazing. And our goal is to get the number one.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to look at doing is continuing to lower the income tax as
right.
close to zero as possible, and bring the corporate tax down. We've moved to more of a consumption tax, which we believe is simple and more equitable. I'm not a big fan of taking taxes out of your paycheck. I feel like that's the money you earn. It should be up to you to determine how you want to spend it.
Well, I agree with that, and I think most people would. So, Representative Hardister, I appreciate your time. I always know that you're going to be candid, and your answers are going to be thoughtful. And one last question that I wanted to ask, I thought about this on the way in this morning. You have served as chairman of the House, Appropriations for General Government and that sort of thing, as far as buildings and capital improvements and that sort of thing. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, sir. You got it right.
So you know, I mean, let's be honest, that's not as sexy as, well, appropriations for education or Medicaid. So do you have a difficult time sometimes in getting to the you know, getting to the attention of your colleagues? Look, you know, these buildings or this facility or you know, they really need attention. How challenging it is it to be able to get people to view as important some of the work that you're tasked with doing as far as appropriations for making sure that the, you know, the property that the state is owning and using is, you know, in the best shape that it can be?
Yeah, it's not a high-profile topic, so it doesn't get a lot of attention within the legislature and certainly in the media, but it's very important. We have a great legislative staff working on it. The UNC campuses have been great to work with. And our goal is to, and of course, Capitol covers other public buildings, but a major part of the expenditure is allocated to our UNC system. And what we're trying to do is work with the Board of Governors and with the various UNC campuses across the state and the community colleges as well to determine what their needs are. But the idea is to be cost-effective. Only build a facility if it's necessary, and then you might have an existing facility that could be repaired or renovated. But within the framework of higher education, it's about job creation. It's about an educated workforce, and that's how I look at it.
Well, you certainly are doing a good job in an area that, again, doesn't get all the you know, the run as far as like education and health and human services and all that. So we appreciate all that you're doing in that regard. And certainly, Representative Hardister, we appreciate all that you do for the state of North Carolina, for the folks in your district there in Guilford County, and we appreciate you as always being our guest here on What Matters in North Carolina. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Great. Thank you, sir. Have a great day. Representative John Hardister, and I'd like to kid him. You know, he's chairman of the appropriations for capital improvements and that sort of thing. And I could just visualize in my mind, you know, the appropriations committee over there. And, well, $8 billion for education and, you know, whatever billion for Medicaid and Representative Hardister, you know, X amount of dollars to fix these particular facilities. And, you know, it just don't have the same kind of appeal or, you know, generates an emotional response like talking about education. So I say that to say that for him to take on that responsibility and do the kind of job that he's doing is pretty admirable. And we appreciate that he takes that seriously and does a very good job with it. And I like his bill. What do you think? You know, if you like his bill, let me know on Twitter at Mark Shiver or at What Matters NC and say, yeah, this is a good idea. First responders, if they die in the line of duty, we should take care of their surviving spouse. And we can do that in one way, which would be not making them pay property tax. So it's kind of a cool idea. But what do you think? Do you agree with that idea or do you disagree? And again, it's just an example of the kind of bill that Representative Hardister typically would get involved with, something that is thoughtful and tries to help people in a very tangible and practical way. Well, tangibly, we can think of a couple of ways that you can engage with What Matters in North Carolina. You can find us on Facebook. And just go to Facebook.com. You can search for What Matters in North Carolina or just type in Facebook.com/What Matters NC. And it's very important, like the page. And that way you can stay in touch with updates that we do provide on Facebook. We post the link to the podcast there every day. And also on Twitter, you can follow us there. And we will be glad to engage with you on Twitter. And our Twitter handle is @WhatMattersNC. Just that simple. You can follow us there. And you can follow me @MarkShiver, @MarkShiver. And I'll follow you back and answer your questions and engage in conversation with you about our topics if you so desire. So get involved in the What Matters in North Carolina social media, won't you? And we would love to do that with you. Well, until the next time, we will look forward to getting together with you.